I wonder, what is your Christmas memory? What is the past that you have that you remember? Maybe you're getting ready for Christmas. How many of you are ready for Christmas? Liars. Maybe you're preparing. Maybe you're getting things prepared, getting things ready. You're in the midst of things. And as you're preparing, all of a sudden, there's that one memory you have that you have every year that's in your Christmas past. Maybe it's a word that somebody says to you that triggers a memory. Maybe it's a present or a decoration that falls out that you'd forgotten about and reminds you of something that, oh, I remember that Christmas. Maybe that's the annoying Christmas song that comes on every year, that Mariah Carey one. Maybe it's that reminds you every year of some bad Christmas past that you have. My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here. And we're on our second week of our four-week series, The Redemption of Scrooge. And in this series, we are talking about what happened to Scrooge and whether he was irredeemable or not. Scrooge, as you know, in the tale, was visited by four ghosts. The first one was Jacob Marley, who said, "You're going to be visited by three." And those three ghosts were the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. And these three ghosts depict to Scrooge what his Christmas past is like, or some of the past memories that he has. This is the series that we're using for Advent. Advent is the time when we prepare for Christ and what happened in the past. The teenage girl had a baby in Bethlehem with Joseph, and that like transformed the world, and that's what we are preparing for in Advent. We also celebrate the Christmas present, Jesus present in our life today and as of this moment. And we also look forward to the future, when Christ will come on the last day and return heaven to earth again. Amen? We look forward to that day. Throughout this series, you and I are thinking of our Christmas past. What is your memory of the past? I want you to think about that as we dive in to Scrooge, when he's on his journey with the ghosts of Christmas past as he flies through Victorian England with the ghosts of Christmas past. Of course, we're going to use Disney's Mickey's Christmas Carol for this. Please pay attention to your screens. What memories do you have of your Christmas past? Jiminy Cricket said, "Remember, Scrooge, you fashioned these memories yourself." He takes him back to one of his favorite memories, to when he worked for Fizzywig. Fizzywig was such a good guy to work for. In another rendition of the Christmas Carol, him and his buddy are just so happy they were hired by this guy, and they put these parties together when they weren't working, and it was such a good man. He meets his girlfriend at the dance, and they fall in love. But his wonderful memory also is embedded with a poor memory. His love for money, his love for gold, his love for things to get better in life financially ultimately destroys his relationship with the woman he is going to get married to. In fact, Ebenezer Scrooge has realized that he now reaped what he has sowed. What about you? What is your favorite memory of Christmas? If I was to ask you, what is your memory that you remember most about Christmas? Was it a joyful one? Was it a happy one? Was it something that you put on the wall? Was it embedded with that something you will never forget, that you always tell your children and grandchildren around Christmas time? Was it a sad memory? Was it something that you always seem to remember regardless of what you try to replace it with? What is your Christmas past? Somebody who was probably plagued by a lot of ghosts, especially in his time on the earth, was the Apostle Paul. Originally Saul, who had to spend most of his life traveling around in the Greece and Mediterranean area, traveling around telling people that he didn't do that anymore. He wasn't the person that remembered. Every time you said Saul, you were reminded of this guy that persecuted people who followed Jesus. His name brought fear. His name brought terror in their lives. And Saul, Paul, had to write to everybody about who he was not anymore. He had to tell them about the transformation that had happened. And we find this really well written in Galatians that was read to you by Jacob Marley today. It's in chapter 1 of Galatians. In the back of your Bible, you've got your Bible with you today. Open it to Galatians 1. Open it on your phone if you're on there too. But Galatians 1 verse 13 says this: "You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church, and I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors." He says, I got some past. You think you've got a Christmas past? Listen to this one. I got this past, and I know I did it. I was zealous. I was top of the shop. I was the best religious zealot you can have. And I persecuted people. And you know that. I'm reminding you that was me. Verse 15, "But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles." Saul here quotes Psalm 139, which he knew so well, and which all of the Jews knew so well, that they knew verbatim. They knew this psalm, Psalm 139. "You knew me before I was even created in my mother's womb. You knew me before I was knitted together. You knew me in my innermost being." Paul saying, "Now I know this for sure. I've been reciting it for years along with all of you Jews, but now I know it for sure because he has called me by his marvelous grace to be a communicator, to be a preacher to the very people I hated, the Gentiles, those people that followed the way. And now Jesus is very real to me. I'm going to proclaim that good news." He went round and told other humans. He went round and told other people, that even people that weren't apostles before him. And then he went back to Damascus, verse 17. He goes back to Damascus, the place that he was on the road to when he had a moment, when he had a meeting with Christ, when he met on that particular road. He says, "I'm not that person anymore because I met Christ on the road to Damascus." He realized that the person of people, the people he was persecuting, the followers of the way, he was Jesus. And Jesus came as a baby to the woman, the teenager, and then grew up to be crucified on the death machine of the day and resurrected into this new man. And this is what was happening to me. He says, "I now understand that celebration. I now understand that mass." That's where we get the word mass. Mass means celebration. And so in a couple of weeks' time, we are going to be celebrating Christmas. The mass of Christ is what Paul was resonating in his heart. He's what he realized. He says, "Guess what? Now I have experienced this. And I want you all to know that too." took a lot of convincing, right? Took a lot of convincing to tell these people whom he was and whom he was not anymore. But he says, this is what I believe. This is the hope why we light a candle. This is the hope what we hope in. Verse 18, he says, then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter. And I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before you that what I am writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Cilicia, and still the churches in Christ that are in Judea didn't know me personally. Didn't know me personally, who I was. Didn't know me whom I really was. Sure, I might say Saul, and you remember this hateful, mean, miserly old man that was persecuting everybody. But I'm trying to convince you that I all have the same hope as you. You might think Saul means mean and persecutor. You might remember that. But I'm telling you, something new's happened. What is it for you that when people hear your name, they remember it associated with something else? What is it when they say your last name, oh, remember that crowd, they're known for that. They're known for that kind of thing. A few years ago, I went back to England and I bumped into a friend that I was in kindergarten with, and we stayed in touch all these years, and I bumped into him. It was around New Year's Eve, and everyone was happy and celebrating kind of thing, and he says, hey, Keith, so good to meet you. Do you remember that bike you had? That's the first thing he said. Do you remember that bike you had? The one that folded? Yeah, it was a shopper bike. That was your first bike. You remember that? I was really embarrassed. I was like, oh, I'd forgotten about that. That's what you remember after all those years? That bike, the shopper bike? What is it, joking aside, that people remember you for? What is it, your Christmas past, that you don't particularly want to remember for, that you don't want to be remembered for from other people? Maybe there's something in your past that you're embarrassed of, you're ashamed of, that you don't want to remember, and yet something pops up occasionally that reminds you of it. Like, how can I get rid of that memory? How can I not be in my Christmas past? How can I ignore the Fizzywig memory? Why do I have to always remember the scene in the counting house? And so Paul spends a lot of time talking about how he is not that person anymore and how he has been transformed. And verse 23 and 24 are the best. And it's almost like the Galatian churches, the people in Galatia, realize all of a sudden whom he is. Listen to this, verse 23. All they knew was that the people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. I'll say it again. The one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. Ah, what a joy to hear those words. That is a man that has gone through transformation. That is a man who's realized that actually he can have a second chance, that he is redeemable, that the Scrooges of the world, the mean, miserly, miserable old men, can have a second chance in this world. Amen? And we do that through Christ. We do that because Christ gives us an opportunity to experience him afresh and anew. That's what Advent is all about, awaiting, anticipating, having the joy and hope that, yes, I do not have to live in my past. And Paul says, here's what happens next. The Galatian churches, verse 24, and they praised God because of me. Not my achievements, not my ability to flip the switch, not my ability to change my own spots, not in the self-help program that I was involved in, but because of how God had transformed his life. What happened? They praised God because of him and his transformation. God says you are not your Christmas past. You are not your past person. You're not the person that once did this. You're not, no need to be ashamed anymore of something that you might have done. There is no need to feel concerned anymore of that memory that comes up every time you get to Christmas. There's no need to see that ornament and be like, oh no, I remember this again. Jesus says, you can move on from your past. You can move on and know something new and something afresh. You can know the celebration of Christ like Paul did, the Mass of Christ, the Christmas. And we can know it anew this Christmas too. We don't belong in the past. We don't have to stay in the past. We can, sure, we can acknowledge it and move on and all those kind of things. That's good for us. We can say, that's who I used to be. That's what I used to do. I remember I did that. I remember that crappy bike that I had, but I don't need to remember that anymore. Jesus said, you don't have to live in your past. Amen? And when we realize that Christ has taken care of our past, when we realize that even Paul and even Scrooge are not irredeemable and we can turn around, we praise God because of this. Amen? In the evening, before the resurrection, there was a flip over moment. There was a moment when they were celebrating the Passover, the time when they remember the past. They remember the angel of death passing over and saving the Israel people. It was called the Passover. And every year they remembered this very event. And Jesus celebrated this with his disciples for three times. The third one was a little different. They were sitting around the table. They'd already eaten. The food had gone by. The celebration, the traditional food had been shared. And all of a sudden, Jesus picks up just a piece of bread. And he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and the men and women that were gathered around the table. And said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Disciples are looking around. You're like, what the heck's going on here? Passed on the bread and shared it with each other. He said, this is my body broken for you. A symbol that we will celebrate and perpetuate as the presence of God in our lives. And after he passed the bread around, he took a plain old cup that had wine in it. They'd already had wine, but this one was a little different. Took the cup and he passed it around his disciples and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, the new agreement. The old has passed, the new has come. You're not your Christmas past anymore. Drink this, all of you, in remembrance of me. Do this as often as you gather together. And we do that here at Palm Harbor, and everybody is welcome to do it. It's the only place that it's a level ground. Anybody can celebrate the Mass of Christ here when we take communion together. God is present in the communion. The Holy Spirit is present, and Jesus is perpetuated in and amongst our lives in Advent. That's what we gather today. Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Father God, Holy Spirit, pour out yourself on us today, on these people gathered here, on these gifts of bread and juice. Dwell within them. speak to us through this moment, Lord, that we might know you present now. We might know that the past is not how we define ourselves, that our Christmases past are not how we define ourselves. But we are known through you celebrating your blood and your body with us. Come, Lord, fill us anew and afresh with a knowledge of that love, with an indwelling presence in us. Speak to us clearly today in this season of Advent. We ask this in the precious, powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen.